welcome back to another edition of the Prepper Recon Podcast. Our mission is to bring you great interviews with preppers from around the world so you can be better informed and better prepared for everything from a hurricane to the end of the world as we know it.
I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
Are you prepared to defend yourself and your loved ones in extraordinary circumstances? Do you know the one piece of gear Special Operations soldiers rely on to gain an unfair advantage in the field? Are you interested in honing your firearm skills based on lessons learned in actual gunfights? In desperate times, ready men rise to the occasion and come out on top in difficult scenarios. With 73 years of Special Forces experience, the Ready Man Cadre blends cutting-edge tactics with the most current prepper skills into each online episode and live training event. Go to readyman.com to learn more and sign up for a free Special Forces designed hostage escape card that you can easily carry and defeat locks, cut through ropes, and pick your way out of handcuffs. Again, that's readyman.com to sign up for your free Special Forces designed hostage escape card.
Today's guests are Evan Hafer and V Diamond of Ready Man Inc. Guys, welcome to the show.
Hey,
thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Can you guys introduce yourselves and give us a quick bio and tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Ready Man?
Sure. So my name's Evan Hafer. I got involved with Ready Man approximately 6 months ago, I guess now. Prior to that, I'm a Green Beret, still current and serving Green Beret. I was in active duty for a while, and then I transitioned into the reserves. So I've got 20 years of military service combined. I've got 15 years of being a Green Beret, multiple combat deployments, and then I transitioned over to government service around 06. I spent approximately 5 years roughly on the ground in Iraq working a combination of things out overseas in Iraq, and then I went to Afghanistan in 09 for a couple years, worked in Afghanistan for a couple years, and through that I'd actually started another business. I was working with and I'm part owner with Idaho River Adventures. So I was guiding fly fishing trips and extreme mountain trips out in the middle of the Frank Church Wilderness area in Idaho. So I'm kind of part survivalist, part special operations guy. So when Ready Man looked me up, and I'd finished my last couple years writing doctrine for the U.S. State Department for low visibility operations in high threat environments, and my business partner and I started a company called Twistrate, and we were writing doctrine and publishing some training videos when Ready Man looked us up, and it was a perfect fit for me. Like I said, I'm part survivalist, part special operations guy, and Ready Man just seemed like a really good transition for us. We finished writing the 14th edition of the Combat Leader's Guide about 6 months ago, and Ready Man came knocking, so we jumped on board. So me and another guy, Jeff Kirkham.
Sounds like a very exciting life, and thank you very much for your service to our country. We sure do appreciate that. Now, V, what about you? How'd you get involved?
Well, my name's V Diamond, and I started. I met a former SEAL as well, who was already on Ready Man, Chad Wade, and his best friend was his chief was one of my best friends in the SEAL teams, and so myself, I was in the Navy 12 years. Three as a emergency room corpsman, a medic, and then the last nine I was a SEAL. I got out same as Evan, right around 06. I started working for the U.S. government on the contract side, and that's how we met. We've known each other for probably about the last 7 years, 8 years. And did that and got out, transitioned, and I was opened up a couple gyms in Utah, and then I met Chad, and he told me about the program with Ready Man, and thought it was really interesting, and I thought I can bring some stuff to the table for them. And so I jumped on board. So working like the training aspect of things. And yeah, no, I've been with Ready Man for probably about 6 months as well, working on the training side of the thing.
Very cool. And thank you also for your service. Now, can you guys just give us a little brief synopsis of what Ready Man Inc. is all about?
Yeah, Ready Man Inc. is an online community for special operations guys, so former SEALs, Green Berets, and regular guys, so survivalists, preppers, hunters, fishermen. It's where basically we meet and we learn from each other. So, you know, there are a lot of guys in the prepper world that have a lot of really, really good knowledge that we can learn from. And we think that we have a lot of knowledge from working in, you know, post-apocalyptic environments for the last part of the decade that we can offer them. So Ready Man is a community where regular guys, preppers and survivalists, and special operations guys, we meet together and learn from each other.
Yeah, there's a really high percentage of guys that come back from the desert that are a little bit more turned on to the need to prepare, because you guys have kind of seen what it looks like when society falls apart, haven't you?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah, I mean, that's, if you want to see a collapse of a society, I mean, being over there is a very, it'll get you in tune with what things look like. And then when you come home, it's not like you're, you know, you just changed immediately, but I mean, you tend to see things a little bit differently and you tend to want to be more prepared.
Now, yeah, with those sort of new set of eyes that you guys come back with, what would be your biggest perceived threat to our way of life in America?
You know, I don't necessarily see kind of, and this is my perspective, I don't see one specific threat. I think there are a myriad of threats that people have to be prepared for. A perfect example of that is I actually lived in Boulder, Colorado during the floods a couple years ago, the massive amounts of flood. It was actually a geological event. And my wife was 7 months pregnant. She was trapped up in a canyon in Colorado for 3 days. And me and a bunch of special operations guys, we actually organized the rescue to go in and get my wife and 17 of my neighbors out of that canyon. I actually designed it and put in the first helicopter landing zones for the 4 mile canyon drainage that basically were the catalyst to evacuating 240 people. We performed basic medical needs to the people, and I saw it kind of firsthand where, you know, I was a prepper prior to that, and you know, in its purest form. I mean, I believe in primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency planning. I lived in a canyon where I knew flooding was an issue, and my neighbors, I would consider them preppers for the most part, but I really saw a definitive need where people had to, they have to be able to plan accordingly. And when I say that is several of my neighbors, their homes were completely destroyed. So their preps were completely destroyed. And so they had, you know, stocks of food, they had water, they had done a lot of things right. However, when a mudslide comes in and eliminates all your preps, they didn't have an alternative to their homes to a bug-in type scenario. And they were also trapped in the canyon as well. So I saw kind of a firsthand experience of, one, an emergency that turned into an evacuation, the government response and the government response time. It was 10 days by the time that they started the evacuation to the time that they actually got the last person out. The looting started in my canyon on day 2 of the flooding. So my neighbor that was 70 years old, he pulled a shotgun on looters on day 2 of the flooding. And they had actually come up from, you know, wherever, the high density population bases like Denver, into the canyon. And they had started their looting on literally day 2 of an emergency. And they had set up tents, basically forward operating bases. They were pulling things out of homes and stashing them basically in tents. And so they could basically rob homes while people weren't up there. And so we saw a need for self-defense. And I also saw a need for definitive primary, alternate, and contingency planning. So you had several different threats going on up there. You had the one in the flooding itself. You had two, you had the health hazard because all the sewage from septic fields and things like that were running down through the home. So a lot of the water was absolutely not drinkable. And then three, you had to defend your home from, and your belongings from looters. So from my experience, it's quite possibly a catalytic event. It could be economic. It could be natural. It could be a terrorist event. But then that basically triggers, society in its in its roughest and rawest form to kind of act like animals.
And V, do you want to tell us what types of threats you see on the horizon?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be that terrorist element that's here, and I don't see it going away anytime soon.
Yeah, we're not doing much about the borders, are we?
Nah, borders are open. I mean, you got Texas is wide open as well. It wouldn't take much. You're talking, these people can just pay a cartel to escort them across, or they come across on their own, whether that's across the Rio, across Falcon Lake. There's so many ways that they can come across. So that's always going to be there as well. And they're already here. I mean, there's homegrown as well. And there's plenty of them. So, just being super vigilant in everything you do is the best way to, you don't have to be scared of anything, but you should always be, looking up current events and preparing off of some of those things and definitely just preparing your family in general. And that's natural disasters is just as big. There's plenty of them as well. I mean, there's a huge landslide in West Virginia where the whole town's almost gone, right by the runway of the West Virginia airport. So those are always going to be there, and you can't just, like Evan said, prepare by prepping the inside of your home. You might want to prepare some things, whether it's in your office or your workspace or at another family's home, something, because if it goes away, you got nothing.
Evan, in that flood, was that something that you would have expected prior to the event for the veneer of civility to be so thin and for people to break down and start looting like that? Or did maybe even you kind of assume that people would have behaved a little better in such a situation?
Yeah, absolutely. There are a couple of different surprises there. One, I didn't believe my community would pull together the way that it did. But that was a big surprise. My neighbors helped out my wife. They helped out each other. They invited people into their homes. They opened up their food cabinets when they had those things available. They really came together as a community. That was a big surprise to me, believe it or not. And then the second surprise was exactly that. That is such a thin surface where we rely on kind of what we feel is a very stable infrastructure. And taking that away, and when things are basically pulled down into anarchy, the bottom feeders come up to exploit. And that's exactly what happened in my canyon. I can't even tell you how many times I asked, hey, what are you doing in this canyon? Because I spent the majority of that month after the flood up in that canyon helping my neighbors rebuild or move mud or opened their homes back up, and there were people that were obviously not from my neighborhood in and around that. And it's not a neighborhood. It was a very mountainous living situation. But there were people that were obviously not from there, and they were taking complete advantage. And not only stealing from people, but they were taking advantage of the fact that people were weak and they didn't have other alternatives. So there were people up there basically creating false businesses for like mud removal and things like that that really had no means in order to move it, taking deposits and just leaving with cash, little things like that where exploitation was a big issue, and it still is.
And I guess it's events like this, I mean, prior to them, everybody sort of looks sort of homogenized. You know, we're all basically, you know, sort of the same height. We all have two legs and two arms and all of that, except, you know, of course, some of your brothers in arms that have gave almost everything and maybe not come home with all their limbs. But right. But for the most part, you know, we all pretty much look alike. But these types of events sort of reveal who we really are underneath and who we are inside. We kind of afterwards in the aftermath, we sort of see the wolves, the sheep, and the sheepdogs. Would you say?
Absolutely. And you know, Ready Man, that's kind of what, you know, our ethos in Ready Man is really about becoming a better community. So with the internet, this gives us the ability to kind of reach out to one another, communicate, prepare with one another, and then learn from each other through this, you know, the online community. And this is really, you know, I think part of what I brought to it was this tangible reality of, you know, the Boulder flooding and then being able to say, this is what I saw in that event. And really, we were already headed in that direction. You know, my special operations brothers, we came together in this event and we helped one another out. And I relied on that veteran network very heavily. And then I relied on the community of dependable men, basically, in this scenario. And when they offered, you know, me a place at Ready Man, I was just ready to jump on it because I saw it firsthand how powerful that can be. And, you know, even though a guy might be an architect and he hadn't served in the military, but, you know, he was an incredible, you know, organic gardener and a canner and you know, he has construction expertise. He brought things to the table that I haven't invested the time and energy in the last 10 years. So those skills, that information really needs to be cross-pollinated, and that's where Ready Man fits in.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. KD Armor offers affordable body armor, including level 3 trauma plates made of AR-500 steel. They can endure multiple rounds from pistols and rifles up to 7.62 NATO. Their plates are available with Rhino Linings coatings to reduce spaw. Go to katiearmor.com, that's CATIArmor.com today.
Prepping for the apocalypse can be expensive, but it doesn't have to be. The new book, Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping by Cal Wilson, focuses on inexpensive ways to make the most out of your survival budget. Don't create your own financial crisis long before the collapse. Get your copy of Dirt Cheap Valuable Prepping for Kindle or in paperback at Amazon.com. And do you guys run into a lot of preppers that sort of have all of the gear and they've got the stockpile of weapons and the ammo, but they haven't really invested into the training?
That goes both ways too. I mean, there's tactical guys that have, you know, they stockpile and they don't know much about anything either. I mean, it really goes both ways. And the reality is people in general should always be searching out information. They should always be searching to better themselves. That goes both ways. We've taught training courses with preppers and they tell me all the stuff they have and then you throw one little wrench out to them and then they're like lost because they never thought of it. And with Ready Man, that's the whole point, is cross-pollinating all that information so that each individual is better than they were prior to going to Ready Man.
Yeah, because we all have sort of specialties and specialized training and things, and we'll think that that's what we're going to rely on, and then when the situation comes up, it's something completely different than what we anticipated. So it's great to have that balance and to have that community that you guys are building to cross-pollinate, like you said. I think that's a great word for it. Now, can you tell us a little bit about what's involved in your land warfare course?
Sure. So, you know, land warfare, and actually we're in the process of relabeling that. And what we're relabeling that as is our home defense and tactics course. And so land warfare, you know, because we are special operations guys, that original label basically was just the ability to teach preppers specifically how to react tactically to the post-apocalyptic scenario. So, you know, how do I organize my neighbors in order to defend our property? in the case of, you know, total collapse or a semi-collapse. And land warfare teaches a combination of things. You know, we start with literally just the basics. And when I say basics, it's literally proper stance. So it's standing, kneeling, prone as far as being able to handle a weapon, safely, and then move as an individual. Then we transition into how to move as a buddy team and then also how to move as a team. We've branched that out to, not only include the fact that they're moving or learning how to move as an individual and then as a team, but how to organize and defend your home, against nefarious people, right? So we transitioned that and we're relabeling that from land warfare into home defense and tactics. So how do you prepare yourself tactically through planning and then also through training? How do you train yourself and your neighbors to become more proficient tactically?
Can I add something into that?
Oh, please do.
Yeah. So within the course, we're teaching the basics of, like Evan said, in, fundamental marksmanship, very basic. We work through patrolling, as an individual, as a pair, as a team. We use AR type rifles that have lasers, IR lasers. So, the realism is there, with pistols as well. We teach how to flank if you are being, you know, if these individuals are coming up on you, we teach you flanking maneuvers, very basic skill sets. As well, we teach, just basic, where to be in your home if something were to happen in your home. So this is where the home defense piece comes into play. How to protect your home by, knowing the avenues in, the ins and outs of your own home and the best, lanes for fire. So we'll teach these people that. So, you know, when you take a shot in your house, you got to know what's beyond your house. You don't want to go shooting somebody and hit your neighbor or shoot out your window and shoot someone else out on the street. So there's very specific places in your house that are the best places to take, well-placed shots. And so, we want people to be educated on that and knowing that, you know, 90% of the things that might happen are no-shoot situations. You know, it's a very small percentage where the shots are gonna be blazing. And we want people to know that it's not just guns up all day long. But that's the majority of the course. There's plenty of other things. And then we do, one-on-one instruction. So you get a one-on-one coaching, instruction with, some form of SF member, Green Beret, SEAL, where you get hands-on instruction where we break down your movements and help you out. So it's a lot of fun, not just for them, but for us as well. We don't want to turn it into like some high-speed tactical course that you could just pay just as much money and watch somebody shoot really fast. We want to turn it more into like a bro session where, you know, there's no yelling or anything like that. We're just, it's a learning experience for everybody.
Yeah, you guys got enough of the yelling when you're in the service, right?
Yeah.
People aren't going to pay for that.
Some people do.
Now, what's the number one home defense mistake?
I think the number one home defense mistake is a lack of understanding of a person's skill set. So a lot of people think, well, I own a gun and I go to the range a couple times a year, so I'll be able to defend my home and my family with no practice, no rehearsal, and no real plan. And they haven't done an assessment on their home itself to manage their, what we call sectors of fire. So maintaining accountability of your family members and then understanding penetration rates on caliber. So they think, okay, well, I have this 357 Magnum or I have my, you know, 30-06 and my 12-gauge shotgun. Those are all great tools when implemented with proper planning and training. So understanding, one, your limitations with those firearms or your training and ability. Two, maintaining accountability in order to manage your sectors of fire appropriately with family members and then neighbors. Because, you know, these bullets, they don't stop in sheetrock. You know, they continue to move. So I can't imagine a worse scenario than, you know, defending my home against, you know, a bad guy, for lack of a better term, but then, you know, shooting a family member or a next door neighbor. So understanding your limitations, understanding your equipment, and then being able to implement it. So I would say just understanding your skill sets.
Are there some common defense or survival misconceptions that you guys consistently run into?
Yeah, I definitely think there is. And it's the, you know, my dad is a good example of this. You know, my dad's been shooting. He's been hunting his entire life. You know, he's 67 years old now. He's a concealed carrier. So, you know, he carries a pistol, most of the time. He rides his Harley. You know, he's retired now. However, his proficiency with that firearm is very limited, and he overestimates his skill set. Two, he's created a certain amount of training scars that are unrealistic to reality. So standing on a range in a static spot, shooting marksmanship is different than preparing for a self-preservation scenario with a firearm. So the common mistake that I run into this time and time again is an overestimate of an individual's skill set and proficiency with a firearm.
Absolutely. For me, teaching courses and teaching the land warfare course and all the people that we've taught classes to, the biggest one I see is they immediately want to go to a shoot scenario, and it 90, like I said, 95 to 99% of the time, it's a no shoot scenario. And, you know, when you play, how you play it, in training is how you're going to play it for real. So all those people that thought that they were really efficient, and then they realized that, you know, they were basically a show. They definitely overcommit to skills that they don't actually have. They just think they're safer because they have a gun. So yeah, definitely the training aspect and knowing, their limitations.
And I'll add one thing to that. And, you know, what we see in these land warfares, every course is that people will actually shoot one another to an overwhelming percentage, above 70%. So you have basically a division between labor, basically, and a lot of these are husband-wife scenarios where you're clearing a home, and they end up shooting each other. So we've really gotten to the point now where we start at the basics, so everybody understands proper task organization and sector of fire management, because, you know, like we said, we've seen it to an overwhelming percentage where they end up shooting one another in a home, in a mock-up scenario.
And they leave humbled. Mm-hmm. They leave with a whole new perspective on what they need to work on and what they definitely won't be using or doing.
Wow. Yeah, I bet that's very eye-opening for folks. Now, you guys have got some free video courses available at readyman.com. Can you just give us a quick synopsis of the armed abductor video?
Yeah. So in the armed abductor video and what would you do, the key component to take out of that is what your reaction is and you have where your reaction and what you're going to do. You know, there's multiple ways to skin the cat. You know, if you know you're not the best shooter, which is for them when they're video, do you take the shot from far away or not? And Chad, knowing that, you know, he's placed some shots overseas and he knows the reaction of people when shots are placed, you know, off at a 45 or at a person's feet, they move, they react, and they're not focused on shooting back more than they are trying to react. So that's the basis of the video. You know, at the end of the day, that could be dangerous as well, but when you're talking, it's a family member and you're trying to, get to them before they disappear. You just got to make a decision, as best as you possibly can and react with it.
Yeah, absolutely. In the armed abductor video, a lot of this was to, you know, break paradigms, to get to people need to think about worst case scenarios. They need to think about these scenarios. And if you prepare for the worst and hope for the best, you know, you've come a long way in the planning process. And, you know, Chad would handle the situation differently than B, and B will handle it a little bit differently than me, and Jeff will handle it a little bit differently. And this is all based on individual skill sets. So a lot of these things are not cookie cutter answers. their answers based on the individual and the skill sets that they bring to the table. So the armed abductor video, we really wanted to paint the picture of there are multiple ways to solve this problem. This is just one, and to force people to think about these things.
And folks can get a free hostage escape card for just stopping by Ready Man. They've got to pay the $3 for shipping, but I think that's a great deal for something that's got a lot of valuable little tools to it. Can you guys talk a little bit about the card?
Yeah, so the hostage escape card was actually built by Jeff, and you know Jeff's got 27 years. In special forces, he spent the latter part of the decade, I mean, over 10 years in hostile regions, working all around the world. And he actually designed that with us. So we plugged in on it, but for the most part, that's a 70% solution with Jeff. And then we plugged in myself and V on the design on that to a 30. And we basically wanted to create something that somebody could slide into their car, into their a card they could slide into their wallet. That in any scenario, you can use it for quite possibly combination of ways. So, you know, if by chance you were taken hostage, you know, you could slide this out of your wallet. You can slide the shim into a pair of handcuffs. You can use the saw to break out of a zip tie or a rope. You can use the lock pick itself if you have the knowledge, which we provide the individuals the free lock pick course. Once they actually get the card itself, you get a free lockpick course taught by Jeff Kirkham. So you're actually taught how to use the individual tools in the card through a 45-minute block of instruction that Jeff, you know, we have as a free download to our members. So that card itself has several different tools that you can use not only in emergency situations, but too, you know, you can use it in order to reuse things. So you can use the handcuff shim in order to, you know, free up a zip tie if you don't want to use the zip tie. We really, you know, to define it as the hostage escape card, we can define it several different ways. You know, we've said it's the Special Forces lockpick set, the, you know, the Special Operations lockpick set, the Special Operations hostage escape card. We wanted something that was inexpensive, lightweight, that people could carry for a combination of emergencies or just problems that they could solve.
Very, very cool. Now, when's the next live training course and where will that be held?
It'll be April, I want to say 26th and 27th. Whatever weekend that is in April, the third week in April. It will be held at, in Utah. Up in Ogden, Swanson's?
Yeah, Swanson Tactical Training Center.
Yeah, so you can go to Swanson's Tactical Training online and the website will pop up. It will be a, home defense and tactics course as well. And as well, we'll also have the one-on-one, shooting instruction with individuals that choose to do so at the end of the course.
And you guys plan on adding any new, courses or products anytime soon?
Yes, we do. We have quite a few new courses that we're working on the curriculums online, and just fine tuning them, and then we'll be posting those on the website as well. As for new products, just be on the lookout at the beginning of the next month, and you'll see something really cool.
Yeah, we got the next product coming out, which is a little bit of a prelude to what we're going to be launching. It's super cool. It's a wilderness survival card, and it is awesome. It is quite possibly, you know, I obviously we helped design it, so we're a little bit biased, but this thing is super, super cool. So stay tuned and definitely check that out because we'll send you a couple so you can play around with them. But, by far what we've done is we've combined about 100 hours of just survival knowledge. So it'd take a person roughly 100 hours of experience based learning just to be able to create the tools that we put into this card. Plus we save in caloric output, the person, you know, in that survival situation, making things that we put into this card, we've saved them over 100 hours too, just making these little survival gadgets. everything from, you know, fishing hooks and saws and things like that that people really need in survival situations. And once again, that's based on our real survival experience. You know, I've been to three different survival schools through the military. You know, I have well over 150 hours, you know, in real survival situations using these tools. Now, these are forced training environment things, but we've got, you know, well over 300 knowledge-based hours of learning in survival schools between the three of us. And so we've taken all our knowledge and combined it into one card, and it's, man, it's seriously the coolest thing that I've seen, like, on the market. It really is.
That's very cool. I can't wait to see it. Now, we're going to have links to readyman.com on today's show notes. Of course, anybody can just go by there and check that out. But now, is there any other ways that, people can follow you guys? You got social media, videos, YouTube, anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. We have our ReadyMan Facebook page. We've uploaded we upload videos and mostly just random content on there. But we're going to be focusing on driving some free content on there as well. We're still working out the kinks on a lot of that, but we have an Instagram page as well. So we'll be uploading random photos throughout, just things that everybody on my cadre are doing. So yeah, we got both of those. Instagram is Readyman Inc. And you can look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/ Readyman.
Well, Evan, V, thank you guys so much for your service to our country, first and foremost. And thank you for your sponsorship of Prepper Recon Podcast. And thanks for your time today to give us some great information.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, definitely.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.